Because what appears to be so real, how much ignorance, not understanding even is told, it's just that which appear only at moment of seeing. That is not enough. Well, it's so true. And so when Panya develops, if it understands the other thing, it's not real. Because that should be understood. It's now exactly the same. So we just fear more and more and more. And it, the Sankhara Khanda, or the Jetasikas, 50 Jetasikas, now perform that function. Who knows? Unknowingly, until the right understanding begins and then develop gradually. No intention just to have it more of this or that at all. Otherwise, it hindered completely, like usual, like now. One has to understand that it has to be so natural and so anatta, because no one can have it arise at will. No one can control the conditions to have it understand this or that, because everything goes so very rapidly. So the understanding is just begin to have the intellectual understanding about now, see, it's real, and not just the long one, but it's just so rapidly rising and falling all the time. So it doesn't matter which one is the object, whether it's the last one or the future one, but it appears as that which you see. This is the very beginning of understanding, not by ourselves trying so hard to have the understanding of it. Just understand, not the seeing, not the visible object now, but understand until it can begin to develop just little by little to the object which appears now, or to that which appears to the body sense, or that which is the object of thinking, or that which thinks, whatever, everything is there just in a very, very tiny moment. So this is the way to have less attachment from the very beginning, and it develops naturally. That's why listen is moment of listening, and depending on conditions, whether it is that moment of direct awareness, not just intellectual understanding, little by little. The only way is quite a long, long way. That's why it needs the satya, truthfulness, sincerity to the object which appears as now. If it's not now, it's the wrong path. It's not the Buddha's path at all. So no meditation center and no idea of self try, or no intention just to do or to go or whatever. It has to be so natural. So we understand before there can be more firm understanding of reality, it takes time to know that, okay, it's gone, it doesn't matter. Hear it again and again and again, and no matter how much there is the idea of this or that, but the understanding of this only. For example, what this? This seeing, this hearing, this thinking. See, what this? It's what Buddha said. And no one can begin all adhammas. This is to be remembered, all adhammas. And this is the beginning of letting go. As natural, to be firm.
People don't know sati and panya are also anatta. Mm-hmm.
So in other words, Acharya, you're saying right understanding. If it's right understanding, it has to be with detachment.
Very little. According to panya, we haven't heard this before. And when we hear it again and again, it's more like having a little firmer, unseen, unknown. So very subtle. But it has to be, what now? This seeing, this, what is this hearing, this hearing, this hardness, everything is exactly the same. Otherwise, we prefer to have this rather than that, and that is self again.
Then it's not the present moment.
That's why just let it be. Like, you enjoy this, okay, it has conditioned already. To condition yourself to be just for a very short moment, no selection. That's why Panya can understand the moment of the big awareness, because so very fast and very natural, and it's gone. And that is the like the examination with the, how much clinging is there, how much they decide to know it better, until it's just a little bit go away from time to time, unknowingly.
And desire to know better is
it's
a lot.
It's hindrance again.
It's a lot.
Trapped again and again. That's why the second noble truth should be known. Otherwise, they cannot lead to become enlightened with the idea of no self, no one.
Yesterday, I was talking to Akhil. At one point, he paused quite a long time, and he said, I was wrong all this while.
Mm-hmm. That is Panya,
yes.
See?
And I said, I'm very happy to hear this.
Yeah. Because attachment doesn't let anyone go away from its power.
And that's an example, Ajahn, too, of no tamba. You know, like tamba, if tamba is very rigid, mm-hmm. if people are very rigid, then they do not want to hear. Or they stop themselves from hearing.
He gave the example of that yesterday when he said that some of his people who come to listen to him, when they hear about ignorance, they think it's other people.
All the time.
It's other people, not them.
Not the moment of hearing there is no sound. It's only hearing. So we understand the subtlety of the teachings, that without careful understanding, to really understand the truth, it's impossible. It's trapped all the time by lobha and avijja.
And also we can see, Ajahn, that without hearing the Dhamma, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Who can say, even when I thought about, we like to think about concepts, we are attached to concepts, and always thinking only about concepts, not reality. I could see that that's so natural. And how can it be that we can understand without hearing the Dhamma? Because automatically we are only thinking about concepts.
Because even right now, there are that which is seen all around, and there is thinking. So it depends on how much understanding is there to understand the difference, even from just thinking, but not inward, see.
Even it after begins, hearing the Dhamma.
Yeah, little by little, to understand the truth. So one can understand how Panya can arise at any situation. While one is so wretched in happy feeling, or when it's so bad feeling, whatever, no selection at all. So the best thing in life is to understand the path correctly. That's all in one's life. No matter short or long life, it's there, accumulated, to be conditioned. In his own word, he can publish it better than translation, because translation is not like speaking about the truth in his own way, and for the others to get.
So you're saying that maybe he used as guideline, but in his own
words. Right. This is better, much better. No matter Nina's book or Jonathan and Sarah or everyone, and you too. Your own language, not just translation.
Mm-hmm. Ajahn told me.
Because with one's own language, explanation, it's better. The right term, the right word.
So I told him to also join Dhamma study group where he can ask questions and...
Yes, please. It's so easy to be bored, to have the courage, because quite difficult, the situation and the understanding. Mm-hmm. That's why thinking about one's own understanding so that one can pass it on to the other.
When you say bored, Ajahn, would you say also that those people are not being patient?
Because lobha turned them away from the interest on the teaching. It depends on accumulation. For those who have strong accumulation of understanding the truth, nothing can change, but the time for lobha is there. With the understanding of what's the best in life, is there too. So it's like depending on what conditions what. For understanding, to be able to understand in what situation.
I mean, even for me, when I listen, use my headphones, it's 80% of the time for music. I cannot spend that all the time for Dhamma, right? Only sometimes when I see the importance of hearing the Dhamma do I switch it on. So even for someone like me, it's mostly lobha for sense pleasure, sense objects.
You never know, maybe suddenly there's no music in the sound.
Direct awareness can slip in and go as natural. For those who have the understanding of all dhammas are equal, just
and when you say all dhammas are equal, what do you mean?
As arising and falling away, no matter what.
Except nirvana, right?
Nirvana right. Doesn't have paccaya to arise.
No.
The end of paccaya.
It's always interesting, Ajahn, when you say that, because you would think it has a lot of conditions for it to arise, wisdom.
And when there's no paccaya at all, how can there be anything arise?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's why after experience the nature, the true characteristic of Dhamma, it eliminates the idea of self gradually until to the end. No more doubt about the Dhamma, Ariya Satya. So without lobha, there can be a moment of experience there, which is ditti, comes from lobha. And avijja.
You say ditti come from lobha.
All dhammas are kusala and kusala, avijja conditioned sankhara. But since it cannot be thinkable, the understanding of what it appears will lead to such detachment. Without detachment, never there be the way to nirvana at all. But it's not like to be detached from sensuous object or higher understanding, but it's just that which cannot be taken from me or anyone, only that. Mm-hmm. That's why there can be condition for craving for sensuous object, but not for wrong understanding anymore. Because before it can be ended, right understanding gradually eliminate the not experiencing the truth of it at all until it becomes well appear.
Yesterday I was telling Akhil, he was talking about basically it was about Dhamma, Sankara Kanda, how they accumulate, and he was asking about ignorance. I said, because it's nama, we cannot imagine how they accumulate. We don't even understand what nama is. But it's not like rupa. Then I said, I once heard Ajahn say that if you can make the accumulated ignorance like a rupa, it'll cover the whole universe.
Not enough.
And he goes,
space.
Oh.
Because what is experienced does not show up as it is. With only metta, who knows the sound of that as what?
But Acharya, that's your understanding. And when you tell us, I still don't understand. Because if, even if you just say without sound, there's no...
With only metta of sound.
Yes, but even if we don't think about nimitta, we just think about sound and thinking and no nimitta.
But nimitta already.
We still are satisfied with that, without the meaning of nimitta, the need for talking about nimitta. We just say that there's hearing, experiencing sound, and there's thinking about hearing, and we think that, oh, without sound, there won't be thinking about sound of wind or sound of this thing. And we can continue like this forever without ever hearing about nimitta. But and when you talk about nimitta, at that time you understand, but I don't know what you're pointing to, what you're referring to, because right now I'm thinking only about sound and thinking, no idea of nimitta.
That's why Buddha taught for 45 years, just to be the reminder about now and what appears. For example, asking it is outside, over there, is not understanding. It's something over there. But when there is no place, no space, only sound appears, see? It's not here or there because it appears well.
And yeah, that points to the need for nimitta, because if it appears to sati, it can't be just one rupa, one moment, one rupa. It has to be nimitta of many.
But no idea, no need to think about it. Mm-hmm. It depends on the characteristic which is heard and begin to understand that as not self who hears.
Again, that's very important reminder, yeah. That in the beginning is to understand as not self.
Along the way, anatta.
Had to.
But the word is such and the understanding gradually increase a little to reach that, the meaning of that word, the truth of that word. No one, see, just one word. No one, it means no things around as either, as right.
Another thing Akhil understood yesterday, realized, he said, that's why madam, he's referring to you, says study one word at a time. His wife suddenly didn't want to, on their YouTube channel, didn't want to do news. She said, what, no use, let's only concentrate on Dhamma. I said, no, it has to be natural. You don't have to think it's wrong to do news. Because he was saying that when I do news, we have to make the title attractive. I said, so what? It's natural, you do it attractive. You just do your job. Don't have to think. You're not hurting anyone. You have no bad intentions.
And that can be understood as yourself. Otherwise,
he was very happy to hear that, yeah. Also. He was very happy.
To understand, Lopa is resting.
Because there is always something for the Lopa, something else for Lopa.
Yeah.
Unless there's the knowledge of no sin at all.
Yeah, you're right.
Changing all the time. It follows everywhere. Even hearing, just very sure, it's there. It's governed the life.
See, I'm still curious, what is that?
Ignorance is there already, together with the sound.
Say ignorance in general.
Because we hear the sound, but they already look of that sound. Not just you.
And it doesn't matter, it's natural.
Not at all. Otherwise, panya is hindered again by ignorance, just wanting different way. The I is wanting the different way. to be calm, not to cling and so on. It's useless. Trapped. That's why it is a second level truth. It has to be known. And first of all, that which arises with loka, the idea self. How can the other kilesa be eradicated without understanding this loka? And first, not all loka, but loka with wrong understanding of self. So very deeply rooted. So study with the firm understanding of no one, no self, is the right way.
The only way.
The only way. Even the Abhidhamma teachers who do not understand Dhamma will have meditation center.
So you're saying even if they, in the beginning, they do have no intention, but if they study wrongly, at some point they will think about meditation center?
Even yeah. When there is the understanding firmly about no self, cannot condition to have meditation center.
It's like a business. It's like temples, no understanding, they open meditation center.
To manage the outcome.
So what was that answer?
To manage the
outcome. To manage the better outcome, the outcome, the desired outcome.
Desired outcome, it's all put.
What for? Seeing the understanding.
That day I remember we were talking about old people and you were saying something like, yeah, even if they're old and about to die, if no understanding, it's still more, wanting more and more and more. Even if you're so old, you cannot get up. It's just dominated by loka. No sense of urgency if there's no accumulations.
From morning to night. Each move?
The habit of the kusa. Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's just actually no one, just the conditioned dhammas, how it has to happen.
That's true.
Understand the subtlety of all realities. Conditioned one not to do anything.
Mm.
Not to do anything. Mm. Because the I is there to do.
And in that regard, what I just said, just now, Vince told me something about one sutta, about the old lady who wanted to go and see the Buddha and hear him, and with a group of people where everyone was carrying oil lamps, and she didn't have one. So she took out all her money and she got a little bit of oil. You know that story? Maybe you tell.
Oh, that's it's about when the Buddha was in town and all the people want to show respect and welcome the Buddha. And everyone prepared the oil lamp at night to welcome the Buddha. And the very old lady, and then she also wanted to show respect to the Buddha, but without much money, she took all her money, but could not even get a little bit of oil lamp. So the owner gave her just a little bit. So her oil lamp is supposed to be the one that extinguished the first.
It's the smallest, so it has to finish first.
But during the middle of the night, when all the other oil lamps are gone, her is still there. And Ananda was very amazed and asked the Buddha. The Buddha said, she asked for the wisdom.
So that's a different kind of
maybe
old lady.
This before.
I think it might be Mahayana.
It could be Mahayana, right?
Could be Mahayana.
It sounds. It's not Theravada.
she take out all she has, all the properties, just ask for the wisdom.
It doesn't.
But it's a nice story.
Yes, but we have to think clearly.
Can you tell me what you see wrong with it?
Wow.
Who knows how it conditions such situation. It can be conditioned.
And if she has not, maybe she's heard the Dhamma before. Maybe she already has some level of understanding.
Maybe, and then she would like to, she's doing that just for the sake of wisdom.
But what about the others? Only her, see? Is it possible?
Because she is willing to
it sounds
give
Mahayana.
All her stuff.
It sounds right. Mahayana. Okay.
I do remember, I think it's called the Pattasutta, where the Buddha was sitting there in the dark, I was sitting with the oil lamps. With the monks and all the creatures, you know, the little flies and gadflies were going into the light, where the light was. And the Buddha said, just like human beings, mad creatures going towards something that they like, and they don't even know what they're doing, and they're killing themselves. Yeah, just to kind of, it's a mad rush.
It's like licking the honey off the razor blade.
Something like that. Yeah. They were just killing themselves by rushing at the light.
I was thinking the other day, because there was during the Sikh festival these past 2 weeks, there was a Sikh teacher from America. When he met me, he knows my wife for long, he's met me before. He said something like, just enjoy. Then I thought, that's like telling someone to lick the honey off a razor blade. Just enjoy.
it's quite a common thing though amongst people, they say that. Yes, yeah.
And can we ask, enjoy what?
This is fun too. They wouldn't understand it, John.
Yes, but some question might strike.
I know, so.
Who can answer that?
They'll probably look at you and think you're quite strange. Enjoy what? There's a lot to it. There's a lot to enjoy.
Particular, one moment to another moment.
Yes.
But some people say enjoy life and do good deed. They sometimes they claim both. They say that's enough for.
And what about understanding?
Right, right. See? They say that's enough for them. They are satisfied with enjoy life and then do good deed.
But enjoy life. Life is not for enjoyment.
No, that's not. No.
Seek noble truth.
Like the fly.
Like that fly, yeah.
And the more you enjoy, the less good deed probably you cannot do.
Well, yeah, you're just sowing a lot of unhappiness.
They don't mind about the result. They just want that present moment. That's
Or they care about the result, and that's why they do the good deed, just for possible.
Yeah, that's right, for more samsara.
And then if one asks, what for?
For enjoying life.
That's right, that's last night, Ajahn, there was much talk. We were talking about giving, and
you can just tell the situation.
Well, I'm just trying to say it in a good way. some people believe that you can give people too much.
Too much?
Yes. Some people say, like I've heard people say, if somebody's giving to them, they say, no, too much. I've got enough. And I was thinking, I don't know about that. You can always give.
The tone sounds so bad.
No, it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
Okay. Yesterday when we were leaving, and then Kun Wani took in the bombs, and then I said, we too much, because we already have not even finished all the food in the refrigerator. And then, so we had the discussion, like discouraging giving. Is that discouraging
stopping something
giving?
From giving?
And then, I would just express what is true. That's too much. We have too much.
You speak for yourself. When you say we, it's you. You said you have too much.
Yeah, you. Yeah, you were talking about you. That we have too much. he was talking about his idea that we have too much. So based on that idea, he said he didn't want Varni to give more.
But it depends. If you have to finish it and you cannot, but it gave to the others.
That's what I had in mind.
We have 11 palm together.
See,
I can remember you saying that.
Kunsundra said take and then we give someone else. But I thought that at that point, Varni can give someone else because we don't know anyone to give.
But Varni was the messenger.
There's always somebody.
Like the fish, right?
Well,
it depends on whether you know that person so well that you can.
That's one of the factors.
That's what we said. Because we know each other. I mean, Varni is not a stranger.
Yeah. And then she was the messenger. It's not like her mom.
Because
she was
sending
that.
Because he can keep that for the others too. It depends on situation and how much you
are
accustomed to such person.
I mean, he understood that later when in the room I told him, can't we say no to the person we know? We can always say no also. Like immediately when I offered
chocolate
to Vincent, he said no, and no problem.
I think to the Buddha, of course, when he was eating a meal, he put his hands over the bowl, he said enough.
But for the others, you don't know enough. Maybe you just receive.
Yes, that's different. It would be a different situation.
Yes.
If Varni was a stranger, Vincent wouldn't react like that.
Maybe not. But I always think the Buddha also said that we should not discourage people from giving.
True.
But depending on situation, if you have so much
that
you cannot spend or use it, but you give to the others. Or you can receive and give it later.
Yes,
it
that's right.
That also
depending on conditions,
on
the rule at all.
No, there's no rule. There's no rule. But I think it's good to be. I think what I was.
Because you don't know when you're so well, no. So maybe for you it's better just to.
I always feel it's good to receive. From Kunwini, I know she likes to give and to share, and I think it's good to encourage that because, as you said, Ajahn, we can always give it to somebody else. I think also what I've noticed is sometimes people, we have aversion towards what we don't like, but we also can have aversion towards getting a lot of things. And I don't think that's so, I think it's good to know that. When people, we can
different situation.
We can have aversion towards kusala vipaka as well as akusala vipaka. So I think it's good to know about that too. And there's always somebody else we can give to. And also, I think you've mentioned this to Ajahn, to be able to give in samsara is very rare. It's not common. So I don't think we should stop that. I know you said sometimes, especially I can imagine in your situation where sometimes people give you many, 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 many things and perhaps other things too that you and you feel have you have enough and then you can sometimes say, but I think it's a good thing too.
And I also mentioned to Sundara that when I have something I don't want and I give to others, I think whether that person needs it or not.
Right. Right person.
Right. And also in the situation where last night when I offered you something to eat, it's not like that is like giving. That is something, it belongs to everyone. I'm just saying you want to eat or not. It's not giving, right?
Well, it could be.
Or the chocolate you were.
No. That time it was something else.
Okay.
Something else I picked up and you said no. Right? So that belongs to everybody. So it's not like I'm giving. Like that, if something is there on the table, each time I pick up it's giving,
well,
I'm doing dana.
I think it is.
No preparation.
Huh?
No preparation beforehand.
But is it dana?
All right, we can think and talk about this, but when time comes, depending on understanding.
The chitta at that time, yeah.
It's the metta, right? You consider it.
Yes, there's metta, right?
Certainly it can be done with metta.
Right.
And we might think too much while Kunwini doesn't have any idea about what we've done.
No, I think we have to be sensitive to what other people.
And today, this morning, I gave a waffle to Sundara. I asked him, if it was a Vincent, if he didn't want at that time, he'd say no. And it's good. It'd be preferable. But Sundara didn't want to hurt my feelings, no, so he took it and he put it in his pocket.
No, you're not. You think you're presuming. You're presuming.
Not okay. That I have to eat yet.
No, but you did eat it.
And I did eat it. Not all of it, because I didn't want all of it. But sometimes when people give me, I take a little bit because I might want all of it. Mm. But I don't like to say, no, I don't want that. I'll say yes because I think it's
good. But would it be wrong if you said no?
Because I think it's good to encourage sharing.
Not now, thank you very much.
You can do that.
But you can say that.
Possible. But I thought, yes, that's just my habit, Ajahn.
And then when I saw him putting in his pocket, I said, oh, he's dirtying his pocket.
I had for later. This was clean. So I thought I'd save it for later.
And then I regretted giving him.
How about this one, Spali? You regret?
I'll remember the next time.
They are all gone because usually we think much about it when we take it from me. Mm-hmm. See, I have done many things wrong, but all right, it's wrong.
What you say didn't quite follow that.
I have done many things wrong. But it's gone completely.
Yeah. So sometimes, rather than talking about what's gone and say, oh, that was wrong, it's better to understand now. So
the best thing in life is
to understand now.
The best thing until then. No one can control. And what is Arya Satchana? Everything which is gone, because now it's gone too, the unseen dukkha.
So when you ask what is Arya now, at that time, if there's right understanding, it is dukkha, and there can be understanding that this is the path.
Mm-hmm. Each moment of reminder, just to remind, to be conditioned later. By Sankara.
Or you could answer that, to the present and the past realities.
At moment of thinking about the past, the present moment is missing.
The what is missing?
The understanding of the present moment.
Of the present moment is missing.
Sankhara Khanda, Akusala Sankhara Khanda works all the time, little by little, condition, no understanding of this way.
So this reminder about understanding goes together with detachment from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. Can also be a reminder to just come back to this moment.
Right. And this is the point of studying the teachings, no matter what about. About physical object, or about sound, or about ayatana, or about tattu, all dhammas are working from moment to moment. Mm. Even we didn't say in our talk about the Noble Truth, but it's there in each world.
Mm. And it's there with each understanding, with each moment of understanding. Yes, so every moment of understanding is better understanding of the Noble Truth, the first Noble Truth. And it's accumulating as Sankhara Khanda. And each time we think about result, it's not.
Otherwise, there's no condition to understand this very moment at all.
Jhana was saying before, it should be known. So kichanyana, it should be known.
This one is not that important, but this one I saw that a couple of times on the internet. I just have you, Gandhava. You heard of Gandhava?
Gandhava is like a deity. It's like a sub-deity, the Gandhava.
Manomaya Gaya. Manomaya Gaya.
Mind, I don't know. Mind-made body. But I'm not sure.
Okay. The reason it caused the attention is this guy talking a lot of Abhidhamma terms, and then suddenly there is this idea of Gandhava.
How do you spell it, Matt?
G-A-N-D-H-A-B-B-A.
Yeah, Gandhava.
Gandhava. Manomaya Gaya. Should I read some of them?
Yes.
Okay. In most realm, beings are born fully formed, but in the human and animal realm, first the blueprint of that life form arises at the QT Bandhisati moment. That is the Manomaya Gaya, or a Gandhava.
I think you're telling about Mahayana stuff here.
But this is Mahayana? Okay, I'm not sure.
Maybe it's just
QT Bandhisati, okay.
They talk about this in Tibet, and they talk about the Gandhava. It's not fully formed. Yeah, it's not like when there's rebirth, there is not.
There's a blueprint, you just said, is there, and so what's going to. It's going to be come out in reality like that blueprint. But it's not.
I think this is my. Yeah.
Is it important to know?
I don't know the meaning of each at all.
The idea is this, Achan, that at the moment of Patisanti, that time, there's no form.
Is this about that, the word?
Yes. Gandhava is, he's saying that at the moment of Patisanti.
Kanda, I know, but what is the word?
Ganda.
G-A-N.
What is that? Ganda.
Gandhava is like a creature.
The part is Manomaya Gaya. Manomaya Gaya.
It's a mind-made body.
Mind-made body.
What he's trying to say is that at the moment of Patisanti, there's no
physical form yet.
Physical form yet.
Is this about that?
This is about once born a Gandhava, it can possibly make many new physical body in a given bhava.
Yeah, that's definitely Mahayana. That's Tibetan. That's the
cool Tibetan.
The Bardo realm.
It's really unnecessary.
It's Tibetan. They call the Bardo realm, I think, something to do with that world.
It's like they're trying hard to make things. Yeah, figure things out.
There is, I think, in Theravada literature, there are some creatures.
They actually take some example from the text, say, like a Sotapanna is supposed to be at most 7 lifetime, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because some description of one particular Sotapanna lasts more than 7 lifetime.
When you talk about last more, it means that the same plane.
Yeah, that's what it's talking about, in the same plane, right. Exactly. So here he says, once born a Gandhava, it can possibly make many new physical bodies in a given bhava. For example, a human bhava may last many hundreds of years, but a human body lives only about 80 years. Therefore, a human Gandhava can make many human bodies during existence as a human. But yeah, it doesn't really help understanding, but something.
Sounds a lot like Mahayana stuff.
But it's not in the. Never in the.
No, now I'm thinking because Achan just agreed that.
There are more than 7 lives.
More than 7 lives, but.
No, only 7 lives.
I mean 7 real life, not a Gandhava life.
But just now you said in the same plane, what you meant?
I mean that no matter how long it is,
uh-huh.
One plane is just one life.
One plane is just one life.
Like Deva plane.
Oh, okay, that's right. So it's still 7 births.
Seven
times reborn, that's all.
Only 6 more Patisanti Chitta, or 6 or 7 more Patisanti Chitta.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
So whatever is meant by in different forms, Is it referring to rebirth again and again, or what?
It depends. Yeah. Usually, I don't mind about how many classes of Sopatana and this and this. So wide, different by different accumulation.
And you remember what I was going to ask yesterday evening, and then you asked me what it was?
That Ajahn already said it's unmeasurable. It's unmeasurable about when avijja akusala become less. You were going to ask that.
Oh,
right?
Was that? I was going to ask. Is it?
I didn't read all this. I just saw some of them, and then he keep talking about transition from a cow to a human. They give example. I didn't contain him. Explain that. Could be interesting from a cow to a human.
Even in that life.
I didn't read the details.
That should be.
Okay, just read a little bit. The transition from a cow to a human occurs in the last citta vritti of the cow life. At the end of that cow vritti, the human Gandhava comes out of the dead body of the cow. The Gandhava has a very fine body that cannot be seen, but it is a blueprint of the human body.
Oh, this is strange.
But the gross physical features will be partially determined by the parent of the new life. That's not right. It has to be gamma.
There's no gap also. If there's something else in between, that's another realm. That's already rebirthed something else.
And it said,
there's no in between.
It said, this Gandhava now await a suitable womb to be available.
Oh, this is Mahayana.
Tibetan, I think it's probably Tibetan. They talk about it.
Then there must be...
And Westerners already like this sort of stuff.
Not just Westerners. I think it appealed to Indians also. And Thais also.
It appeared to the self who is interested about what's going to happen for the self.
Yeah.
Possibly.
No understanding of present moment, present reality.
It's quite amazing. That is not something.
Gone.
Yeah,
it's
not. And
a good reminder, Vince.
The car
is not something. When you say car, it's already something. And then you're saying the car is not something. The sound is not something. The thinking is not something.
Okay, I see your point. The car is just concept, and it's not something.
There is one reference to Gandhava, but it's completely different. It's quite an interesting one. I remember coming across it from the Atikata, but it's called Gandhava. Here it's slightly different spelling, mind you. It's the name of a tree, and under which Gautama Buddha performed the double miracle, with reference to the frequency and phrase Gandhava Rukamule Yamaka Parihariya Katwa. So the Buddha performed a miracle underneath that tree. It's the name of a mango tree. And the story was that many naked ascetics and the like heard that the Buddha was going to perform the twin miracle underneath a certain mango tree. So they went everywhere and they destroyed all the mango trees. And so his Buddha couldn't perform the miracle, but on the day he said he was going to perform the miracle, he took Yamaka Pratihariya. He actually put a mango down and then the tree just grew up. And then he performed the tree, then he performed the miracle after having performed that so-called miracle. But it was known as the Gandhava mango tree.
And why do you say so-called miracle?
Well, I said, it's not really a miracle. It's just because the Buddha can do those sort of things. It's not a miracle.
So it must be a miracle, because normally you can't grow a tree like that.
Nice. I think you're being a bit precious here, Sukhin.
Isn't it a miracle if the Buddha plants a seed and the tree grows? Isn't that a miracle?
It depends on what you think about that.
I just said it was an amazing thing. When we think of a miracle, we think of the Christian thing that's something supernatural. For the Buddha, it's not supernatural. It's what he can do, these amazing things. Sometimes they're called miracles. So I said so-called miracle because it's not misinterpreted. Parihariya is something amazing. Yeah.
So, because nobody can do like that.
So it's not it can be miracle, it can
it
not
be miracle. It depends on the condition, intention, and powerful.
So
and
miracle
so on.
Is something that is the result of something else.
When it's not normal, usual. But like the Patihariya,
uh-huh.
comes from what? Without jhana, can it be done?
Extraordinary powers. It's just when I use the word miracle, sometimes I think it can be misunderstood.
For example, he can condition the sound of a worm to talk about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
See?
And that's not a miracle.
No matter what you call it, it must be conditioned.
Yes, I understand.
So when you talk about miracle, you mean that without condition or what?
No, I mean with conditions.
She means
it's
unusual.
Just like
it's unusual.
It's like not the magic, the magician.
No, it's not a trick. I'm not saying it's a trick. It's not an illusion.
So it depends on something can happen, but anyway, from conditions.
It's all conditions. Or even miracles are conditions. But I'm just saying the word miracle, does it apply only to certain feats or even something such as planting
can
a seed
make
and a
brain?
I cannot.
The other can in the Tipitaka.
And that is a miracle?
If that's not what you call it, when it's not usual, normal, as anyone can do.
So we can call miracle anything that's not usual and normal.
So what do you think about miracle?
I think that
something different from
normal. Yeah. So that's why I asked Sundara, why you don't consider planting the seed a miracle?
Can you do that?
A samadhi increase is even more magical, right?
Not like trick.
Not like trick.
It's still natural.
By condition.
The fact is cannot eradicate the defilement. That's the most magical thing. No.
The teachings is the Atesana Patihara.
Patihariya. Atesana, those three types of Patihariya, Atesana, and the Iti Patihariya, Atesana Patihariya. What's the other one now?
Anusasani Patihariya.
Anusasani Patihariya.
Because before hearing the teachings, no understanding of the truth at all. So thick and very thick, what you call it, sticky.
Okay.
Not being able to open up the truth now.
Yeah.
But it's there. So the teachings of the Buddha is Anusasani Patihana. It's better, the best of all.
So in that context of miracle, what Vincent was saying, that understanding is also a miracle, given that the rule otherwise is just more and more ignorance and attachment.
It's amazing.
Because no other miracle can eradicate defilement.
It's a miracle that defilements can get eradicated.
True.
Even just the word Dhamma. Even you don't mention my name, but the right words, the true words from Tipitaka or from the Buddha can be very new thing for them to think about.
Yeah. But now we are back to the same question yesterday. People care about if they are learning from the right person or not.
Yes, but how to know who's the right person?
Right, from the word.
That's all. Yeah. Let them think about this rather than who's that person is.
Right. But I mean, even before they want to, because some people are just new to the group, and
it doesn't matter.
Okay,
just talk about the truth
for everyone.
Yeah.
For the first time listener or for the long time listener, it's only the truth.
Right, but for a country, actually so called Buddhism country, they hear, oh, it's a lay person or it's a woman.
It doesn't matter at all.
But it's, we know it doesn't matter, but it's matter to some people. Yes. But when they hear, oh, Bhikkhu Bodhi, even, yes. Yeah, that makes difference to them.
Yes, true.
I don't think that the name should be mentioned, because otherwise they can follow by the name, not by the truth.
Yes. It happens.
But always we remind people there's only one teacher, the Buddha.
You can ask, what is more important,
yes,
the name or the truth?
Right. But if they care to know, we still explain a little bit, but we remind people reality now. That's for sure. All this is about anatta.
Dhamma. You can ask them, what is Dhamma? What do you understand by Dhamma?
Yeah. Well, when I ask them, only a few people respond. And the other are very quiet.
And they're not interested means they're not ready to understand.
I think they are interested, but they're just quiet.
Okay,
they just want to quiet.
So good. And because they listen, right?
The people who are not interested, they left.
And also, I think what Ajahn helped me with originally is that because people are so used to be told what to do,
when
you actually ask them some questions, it can be quite a surprising thing, because the Buddha used that himself. And the Buddha himself used that, you know, called counts the four methods the Buddha used, and one of them was called counter questioning. Well, what do you think, you know, Oka Lamas or whoever he asked people? And normally, because people are only used to being told what to do, that's their whole education system usually. It's a lot about telling people what to do. And then all of a sudden, when you come across the Dhamma and someone says to you, you know, let's talk about the word Dhamma. Can anyone tell me what they understand by the word Dhamma? What does that mean? And yet that's what the Buddha's teachings are all about. They're about the Buddha, about the Dhamma, about the realities that are appearing. So, and that's very new to people when they hear that. So it's important that they can get used to being asked questions. And I notice that Ajahn does this sometimes too. When I ask a question, she'll ask me another question back. So to help you to think for yourself, rather than just be told, you have to consider carefully what you've just said, and then it can be a condition for you to consider more carefully what you asked. So, and that's a lot about the Buddha's teachings. You know, you need to consider carefully yourself, and if you don't, there will be difficulties and there will be problems.
You just explained a lot to me without asking me a question. you just explained to me a lot, but without asking me any question.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite
okay.
Sure.
No,
but we'll talk about that later.
But whatever he explained to you was about the importance of asking questions. But doesn't mean that always ask questions.
Yeah, like I remind people which moment is not anatta. Once in a while, we just remind people through a question.
I just generally don't think people are really used to consider carefully themselves.
Yeah.
They've been used to being told what to do.
Right.
And that happens for many people. So they just go their whole lives just like that. They just being told what to do.
And it can be a very simple question, like, who is the person
they're most interested in here?
Should be the Buddha,
Yeah, that's true. That's a really good question.
But there are so many different questions for them to think about it.
That's right.
Yeah, and when, like, Ajahn said to me the very first time I heard her, you know, I said, look, I've been staying in these meditation centers. And now when I listen to you, I'm very confused. And so I don't know what to do. And Ajahn just said to me, well, anybody can say anything. So I thought, oh, that's true. So that was very helpful, although I didn't like it. Sometimes what people don't like is very helpful, because they think, oh, yes. We're so used to other things that are really not helpful, you know. So if we can ask those really, they're not really unusual questions, but they're questions that are very relevant and very pertinent and can be extremely helpful. And also they're very empowering, without sounding too cliched there. You know, they're very empowering. You think, that's very helpful. And it's true. that's true. When a person says something that's true, you think, oh, yes, that's true. Because we're just mostly used to being told things, and that's not the Dhamma. The Buddha didn't come to tell people what to do. He came to help people to think more carefully about the nature of life, and that's, if we can have teachers who do that, help us to think more carefully, and that's the beginning, that's the foundation.
But then again, Ajahn, in the field of certain fields of study such as logic, by a rule, it's a rule that it's meant to encourage people to think for themselves, but there's no understanding. So without the hearing the Dhamma, without understanding that the what is Dhamma, what the Buddha taught, just encouraging people to think for themselves is no use. Because they can think a bit
in their own way.
In their own way also.
But it's not wrong to ask at all. See? What's wrong? Just very simple.
But of course we're talking in the context of Dhamma discussion.
For example, is seeing permanent? Just that? Very simple, daily. It's not like they have to study a lot before answering the question.
And also I remember I used to like Krishnamurti. And he always encouraged people to think for themselves.
Oh, I see.
Always.
Very good. Like what?
Like he would say, I mean, you don't just believe, don't just follow. And whenever he had that accumulation that whenever people started following him, he moved away. He didn't like to encourage people to just follow him, but to understand what he's saying.
And can it be understood?
Like I said, people just followed certain line of thoughts and then they believed it's understanding.
But when he asked?
For example, when he talks about conditioning, he wasn't talking about Dhamma. He was talking about conditioned by past behavior, past thinking, that we are in the habit of believing this because of our past
previous
accumulations. And he encouraged people to be aware of that, because when in conversation, when he talks, sometimes we give answer from our past knowledge. So he said, to know that.
But did he talk about anatta?
No, he doesn't know anything about anatta. Okay. Sarah once met him and asked him admitted that you got that idea from the Buddha's teaching, but he didn't say anything. Anyway, so even I liked him. I liked the idea that he encouraged people to understand themselves. But it's not Dhamma.
If some people, like Ajahn, some people are very caught up with drugs and, you know, wrong sorts of sexual behavior, and he talks to that and says that's not helpful. So there are some things that he talks about are useful.
What is he? Is he Buddhist? Or?
No, he would be a Hindu, I would say.
So it has nothing to do with Buddhist teachings?
Nothing to do with Dhamma. No, it doesn't. And there are aspects of what we call loosely Dhamma, but, you know, because in India the word Dhamma means that which is good, sort of. And, so many people are very attracted to it.
And a term can... it really be good if it's taken for I?
Many people think like that.
Yes.
They think that it's good to have
if it's
the
taken
I.
for I.
Well, then, no, look, we know that many people who do Kusala and they do...
Just for the I.
Yeah, just for the I.
No, I'm more modest than you.
There's a difference between someone who has a lot of goodness and does a lot of good deeds and a person who teaches, encourages to do good deeds with the idea of self.
Usually, even if it's not with the idea of self, it's there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Particular moment, right? Or you mean the asana?
When there's no understanding of the teaching, or is I, no matter what they're talking about, to do good deeds or whatever.
And I think that's quite dangerous, because that's like a trap which people they think now they're doing good. But they don't know it's in loka.
That's all. But it's impossible to be good without the understanding of the truth.
Right.
And during the time without a teaching, so there's no opportunity for right understanding to, for human realm to arise. And people still have accumulation of past accumulation to perform good deed. Must be right, otherwise it will be, even though very rare people.
And I believe that those who have accumulated some enough right understanding, even in those births that they don't hear the teachings, their kusala is different from those people who don't have the accumulations. Isn't it, Tatan?
It depends, because it's not showed up. It's there, who knows? When it's asyanusya. Like many examples in Tipitaka.
Yeah, like the Bodhisattva.
He's different. He's Bodhisattva.
Yeah, but we are also Savaka Bodhisattva.
No comparison.
So we are not.
No comparison.
We are not that, but also some qualities.
Okay.
Were you thinking of any examples there, Ajahn? You said there are examples in the Tripitaka.
Pardon?
You said, Ajahn, there are some examples in the Tripitaka. Can
yes, many people, the life is quite different.
Yeah. When I've heard Dhamma, especially, or before Dhamma or after Dhamma?
Before hearing the teachings, we know how much accumulation of understanding. And that which is accumulated can condition many unwholesome behavior. Like Queen Samadhi's servant, the one who just took the money from the one which should buy the flowers for the queen each day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until she listened to the teachings. From then on, the flowers more than every day. So the queen knows what, knew why. Kuchutra.
And as we know, the panya cannot develop without the baramis also together being developed. So we have satcha barami. Mm. So if someone has accumulated a lot of satcha in the life where he hasn't heard the Dhamma, I'm sure that satcha has influence also.
Yeah, sure. That's why Ajahn said asaya, nusaya. We never know how.
But it's quite amazing, those stories in the Tripitaka, how people, before they hear the Dhamma, they have very bad behavior, and they change very quickly. And you think of Anandapindika's son, who was a bit of a wastrel, and Anandapindika wanted him to go and listen to the Buddha, and he said he'd give him some money. So he went along, but he didn't really listen carefully. But he wanted some money, so he got paid. And then Anandapindika said, I want you to remember something this time. So he listened to him.
Are there any examples in the Tipitaka of, you brought up the idea of really bad people, bad behavior. I'm wondering about really dishonest people. Are there examples of anyone in the Tipitaka with really dishonest, all the time just lying, stealing, taking advantage of people, and then suddenly hearing the Dhamma and understanding?
I don't know about the detail, but Ajahn mentioned that woman who worked for the Queen, and she was stealing money a lot of the time instead of buying the flowers and doing other things. Mm. She used to use it, no doubt, for herself. And then when she heard the Buddha,
I'm actually talking about the level of akusala that always, without hesitation, deceive people, you know.
Yeah, I think, well, I suppose you think the really bad ones of Angulimala, but there would be
that's
no,
different.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's really gross and it's really bad behavior, you know, doing anything. And I'm just trying to think, you know, and sometimes I can't think of some monks who change quite dramatically when they'd really heard the teachings. But sometimes you just hear of bad monks and they didn't really change too much. I'm trying to think of some lay people who, nothing really comes to mind. Not really bad behavior, I suppose. I'll think about it, but nothing really jumps out at me at the moment.
Because I'm thinking, Achan, I know the Buddha knew the accumulations, and we were just talking about if you have accumulated enough panya, your akusla can't be that strong. Even though the, we still have the accumulations, but I'm thinking some level of akusla, such as a person who's very easy to cheat other people for his own benefit, that seems to be like someone who's not ready to listen to Dhamma. Who knows? Huh?
Yeah, that's right. I think that's very possible, but I think also that some people can. They sort of, they have those, aha moments and things really change for them.